I don't know if many of you know it or not, probably do. This is the last Sunday of 2013. And I don't know about you, but the older I get, the faster time seems to travel. In fact, it just seems like we should be like in March, but we're in December, last Sunday of 2013. And for me, this is a time of year between Christmas and New Year's where you can reflect. You reflect on the year. Right before I got in the car to come here, one of the news channels were recording the top five sports moments. My daughter was like, "Kevin, you can tape record that." But I'm like, "No, I want to." So I lingered a little bit because I knew one of those had to be the moment that I wasn't there. But I was in the listening to it when Giambi hit the home run and we got into the one game playoff. But we reflect, and not only reflect, but look at the things that we might want to do differently in 2014. And that's where I really want to camp at this morning. It's kind of interesting. Sometimes we don't plan it this way, and sometimes it just happens, but this will be the third consecutive service where the shepherds are spotlighted. And I was praying about that, going, "Okay, no, again, Lord?" But it's like, yeah, there's something further that I want to talk about with the shepherds. And even ironically, what's weird is that I've told you each time is that throughout the Christmas season, the pattern has been that God's been using non-traditional Christmas passages for me to preach before Christmas, and then he has me preach a traditional Christmas passage after Christmas. You go figure. I don't know what it means. But this morning, I really want to leave you with really two questions. And I want you to ponder those questions in the service, but also as you're looking at 2014 and what changes that God may bring or have you to bring in your life, in your walk, in your family, in your job as we approach 2014. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. Very familiar passage. In fact, one of our favorite Christmas DVDs is Charlie Brown's Christmas, and every year I go, "They're going to like the tree this time. I know they're going to like the tree this time." And those mean kids, I just want to get in there and put them all in timeout. The worst is at Halloween when we watch the Charlie Brown and they go trick-or-treat and I go, "He's not going to get a rock this time. He's not going to get a rock." But he always gets a rock. That has nothing to do with this. But Luke chapter 2, beginning verse 8. Now I remember what it was. I'm getting old. But do you remember that scene in Charlie Brown where Charlie goes, "What is this all about?" And the great preacher, theologian Linus, says, "I can tell you." And he reads from this passage, Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. "That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them." Wouldn't that be cool? We'll have to ask the shepherds, after the fact, did they go, "Wow, that's cool." "But they were terrified. But the angel reassured them, 'Don't be afraid.' He said, 'I bring you good news that will bring joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you'll recognize him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger.'" Verse 13, "Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying," never heard a choir, the armies of heaven, that's pretty cool, "'Glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased.' When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. Would you pray with me? Father, I just pray that in the few minutes that I have this morning, that if they're just my words, it'll be quickly forgotten. And so minimize my words, maximize what you want to speak to each heart and each life here. In Jesus' name, amen. The angels proclaim this incredible truth. Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Thousands of years ago, when the angels proclaimed that truth, how great it was. For if there had been no truth like that, we would be worshiping up in Beechwood, or there'd be a lot more synagogues around here. We wouldn't have any reason to be here, because we would have no good news. We would have no gospel. And as you look throughout the New Testament, you really have a story of the haves and the have-nots through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because you have the extremely religious people, and then you have everybody else. And in the everybody else category were a group of people called the shepherds. Now, sometimes we can kind of get a better image of the shepherds than you might think about, because they've just been a part of our nativity. You go into the Christian bookstore and there's willow carvings and all kinds of all the different nativities and these shepherds. But shepherds back then, that was not the profession that you would go, wow, I just want to be a shepherd. It was viewed as a low rung on the totem pole, because you had to be around animals constantly. You were an outdoors person, and because you were around animals, many times you were kept from experiencing everything that would happen at the temple, because you were unclean. You had touched unclean things. And so your profession basically kept you out of the church. In fact, the church kind of thumbed their nose at you a little bit. Well, you're a shepherd. Huh? And their people skills probably weren't the best. You think about who they had to talk to all the time. You know, they could talk sheep. But that's about it. And back in that day, they were so ostracized that if there was a store and a shepherd entered the store with his family, all eyes would go on that shepherd, because they're expecting that shepherd to steal from them, to take from them. In fact, one Jewish philosopher called basically all shepherds no good. They were the trash of society. But who did God choose? Who did God choose? The angel said to the shepherds, I bring you good news. I want you to think about that for just a second. Here was a group of people that basically, they knew and their children knew that religious people hurt them. They knew that the church was never their place. They knew that God would never be an option for them, because they were unclean. And yet the angels come to these shepherds and he says to them, I bring you good news. And if you think about it, and this will be a question I'll ask Jesus after the second millennium, after I get all the other questions out. But did everything get orchestrated? The census, the no room in the inn, the manger, the stable, the animals. Did you do it just all just for those shepherds? Because you think about it. When the angel said to the shepherds, who remember, they were the no good of society, the bad boys of the town. They lived on the, not just on the wrong side of the tracks, they were the other side of the tracks. The angel says, a Savior's been born. The Messiah has been born. And you're going to find him lying in an expensive cradle? No. In a well-furnished nursery? No. In a stable around animals, lying in a manger where animals eat from. You see the theme. The church had basically told the shepherds, because you hang with animals, you are unclean. But the angels are saying, guess what? The Messiah is going to be found around animals. And here it was. Wow. It's almost as if he was speaking into their culture, into their language. They knew what a manger was. They knew what a stable was. And it's really cool because the angel did not come to the shepherds and say, now, guess what? This is your lucky day. The temple's going to let you come in and see the Savior. But use the back door, and, you know, you're going to have to, you know, we'll give you a couple hours. There is the Jewish men's warehouse down the street. Now, you need a coat and a tie and pants, and you're going to need some extra Axe or something because you stink. No. The angel said, you come as you are. You don't have to clean anything up. You come to Jesus. And they came. And they worshiped him. And so the first question I would ask you this morning, in your life, who are the shepherds? Who are the shepherds? Now you're going, wait a minute, Kevin. Shepherds, you know, I don't think in Mentor there's a sheep pastor. No, it's a metaphor. Metaphorically, who are the shepherds in your life? Who are the people that feel like that they are too messed up to come to Jesus? Who are the people that feel like that they got to get all themselves all cleaned up before they ever come to Jesus? Who are the people that feel like that they got to change all of this in order to come to Jesus? Who are the people that feel like I could never walk in the doors of a church? One, the roof might fall in, but beyond that, it's just not my thing. Who are the people that would have to probably purchase at Barnes & Noble the reader's guide going to church for dummies because they don't understand anything of the culture that as they walk in the door? Who are the people that you encounter in your life, in your traffic pattern, that would be the modern day shepherds of today? And before you so immediately go, well, it's the poor and the down and out, it's anybody that thinks that this or that is keeping them from worshiping Jesus. And before we get to the point where we say, well, in order for them to meet Jesus, we've got to give them the card that says, you know, whatever. I don't know what the number address of the church is, but I know it's on Johnny Cake. But this is the address here. You come. Services are 8, 9:45, and 11. Unless it's the last 2 weeks, then it will be 9 and 11. But come. But that's not what the angels did. The angels said, we're going to bring it to you. They didn't get a flyer that say there will be the angelic parade at 9 o'clock and 10. You do not want to miss it. There's going to be a host of angels singing some really cool tunes, and they're going to give you good news. No. They came where they were. And there's no really place in Scripture that it says the angels made other appearances. This was their one and only stop. And they chose the shepherds. And so this morning, who are the shepherds that you pass by, that you see in your life, that you need to bring Jesus to? The Browns are answering that call next Sunday at the Cowboy church facility, which on that Sunday will not be the Cowboy Church facility. It will be in what's the name of the? Okay, thank you so much for not putting it in Spanish, because that would be hard for me to pronounce it. But they're actually, instead of saying, okay, Painesville, you're only 15 minutes, come here. They're getting closer to where the people are. You know, sometimes we can get so stuck on ourselves that we think that everybody's got to come to us. But to truly encounter the shepherds, we got to go to them. And we got to meet them where they are. Who are the shepherds in your life? You know, I sometimes wonder when you think about the different people, when I visit a lot of churches, you know what? I don't see a lot of special needs, physically challenged individuals. And I wonder sometimes, where do they go to church? You know, where are the people that have basically said, church is not for me, or I'm too messed up? Where are the people that says, you know what? I'm on my 50th chance. Second question that I really want to ask. First, who are the shepherds? The second question really is it's more of a reflective question for you. Who or what is your sheep? You see, the shepherds, they had this great, incredible experience. The angels left them. The angels gave them the directions. The angels spoke in their language. But in order for them to truly meet Jesus, in order for them to truly worship Jesus, they had to leave what? Their? Okay, I'll give you. So they had to leave their sheep. And sheep are not the smartest animals. And so, hence they need a shepherd. If John Sheep decides, you know what? That cliff looks so good, I think I'm just going to crawl off it and dive on those rocks. Guess what? The other sheep will go, wow, that's a great idea. I'm going to go too. And so the sheep needed a shepherd. And the sheep themselves were defined by, the shepherds were defined by the sheep. Hence, sheep herd, shepherd. And so their whole lives were defined by sheep. Their whole livelihood was defined by sheep. Their mama's, their father's father, and their father's father, and their father's father before them were probably shepherds. And so to leave the sheep meant to be a disgrace to family. What will happen to the sheep? But in order for them to truly meet Jesus, they had to leave their sheep. They had to let go of their sheep, and they had to go to Bethlehem. And so my question to you this morning is, what is your sheep? You go, well, that doesn't make sense. Again, I'm talking metaphorically. I don't want you to go to Petco and all of you put in orders for sheep. But perhaps a different way to place it would be, what do you have in your life that's blocking you from truly embracing and worshiping Jesus? We got to let go of our idols. You're going, wait a minute, idols? I don't think, we don't have in our house this stone statue that we bow down to. No, an idol is this. Anything that a man or a woman pursues more than they pursue God is an idol. Listen to it again. An idol is anything a man or a woman pursues more than he pursues God. And so for the shepherds, an idol was their job. A shepherds were their sheep, but shepherd was their occupation. And for some of you, your idol may be your job. For some of you, your idol may be this or that, only you know. And those things aren't inherently bad. It's just, is it keeping you from the Bethlehem experience? Is it keeping you from truly experiencing Jesus and worshiping him? Joe Stoll, former president of the Moody Bible Institute, puts it this way. I've been reading the book by Matt Carter, The Real Win. And this was quoted in there. He says, I'm becoming increasingly aware that life doesn't go on forever. When we're young, we think we're bulletproof. We live like we'll never die. But when your knees protest certain movements and your eyesight and memory begin to grow fuzzy and reality sets in, time moves us on. And before long, we're all at the edge of life in the past tense with most of our days in the rearview mirror. And as much as I'd rather not think about it, he says, a day may come when I'm sitting in the corner of a nursing home waiting for them to ring the lunch bell. And if my life up to that point has been all about me, that's going to be a sad and empty day, no matter what they're serving for lunch. Why? Because all I'll have will be me, which at that point won't be very much. But if my life has been about knowing Jesus and experiencing a deepening relationship with him, as I sit in the corner of that nursing home waiting for the lunch bell to ring, he'll be there with me. And he'll be more wonderful than on that day than ever before. His presence will be my companion. He'll talk with me, and I won't have any trouble hearing him when he tells me I am his own. He'll say, well, Joe, you're almost home. And I'll say, Lord, the sooner the better. I've heard your voice through all these years, and now I can't wait to see your face. You think about that. You think about, there's going to come a point where the things that are the most important things to us right now, fast forward at 30 years, and they may not be as important. But the one thing that is, that will never change for eternity, is worshiping Jesus, kneeling at his feet. And so I say to you that some of your sheep may be really, really, really hard and very to let go of. But you have to ask yourself in the year 2014, do I truly want to experience Jesus in ways that I will never, ever, ever, ever have experienced? I wonder how many shepherds were there that said, I'm not going. Who's going to take care of the sheep? Well, we're going. I wonder if there was any left. I also want to, ask Jesus, show me the shepherds in heaven, because I want to ask them what their life was like after they met Jesus. And that when they heard about him, and everybody was thronging around him, multitudes, they can say, we knew back then. And so this morning, I want to ask you two questions. Who are the shepherds in your life? And what is the sheep? If I'm being pretty transparent with you, as I look at my life, one of the things that I've just got to lay down of sometimes is just really serving for an audience of one. Sometimes we can be so interested in what others say that Jesus' voice is just one of that group, and yet his voice should be the number one. And so hopefully in 2014, that I can lay down people-pleasing a little bit and just say, Lord, it's you. They say that you can kind of know that you're a people-pleaser if 8 or 9 people say, wow, good job, and the one person says, well, that was a terrible sermon, and you think about the one that said it was terrible. What sheep do you have to lay down? If you're really just transparent with yourself. And so in just a little bit, there's going to be a song that David's actually going to be using as a time to teach a new song that we'll be able to sing at another time, but it'll be sung for us. But I want it to be a time where you're just sitting and reflecting. It's not a time to think about, well, it's almost lunchtime, where are we going to eat? It's not a time to think about what's going to happen here or there. It's a time to ask yourself those two questions. And I want to encourage you to courageously ask the Holy Spirit those two questions. Who are the shepherds in my path? And what is my sheep? Who or what is my sheep? And whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do, the Holy Spirit may tell you to do something courageous, and that is just to come up front. No big fanfare. But just to symbolically just lay that sheep down, that idol down and then go back to your seat. I'll be sitting up here if there's somebody that just would like special prayer. But let's choose this day to not go into 2014 with all the junk that we had in 2013. Let's lay it down and go to Bethlehem and worship Jesus. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you. Lord, you are the Lord. And so, God, I ask that, and I know that we've spoken this passage so many times this Christmas, but I pray that we could look at it in the light that says, where are the shepherds in my world? And what is my idol? What is my sheep, oh Lord, that's keeping me from truly worshiping you? Lord, I pray you give us courage. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to not care what others think. And Father, I pray that if there's someone that is brought to our minds, that we would find a way to be like the angels and bring God to them. And so, Lord, I pray in whatever way you've spoken, give us courage to obey. In Jesus' name, amen.